back from the dead. Hey guys, what is up? Welcome back to the channel. It is yours truly, Crystal. Clearly I'm not together today because you can see my backdrop, and you know what? I just don't care. It's a paranormal podcast for those of you brave enough to join the circle. Bringing in Kat right now. Right meow.
Right meow. I was just going to say that.
Right meow. You know? I did some fun stuff for TikTok today. I got to go visit some animals that are up for adoption, and I did a little TikTok on it, and it was really fun. It was so fun. So yeah, I was excited about that. How was your Friday?
Low key, actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's a little rainy today here in New Hampshire, and my lizard's sleepy, and I'm sleepy.
It's a mood, you know?
I know.
Is she about to go hibernation, but it's a different term, I know, in the lizard world, but she's about to do that, right?
Mm-hmm. She's about to go into brumation. Usually she starts to hibernate and sleep in October, mm-hmm. but it's been especially cooler here a little bit earlier this year. So she's starting to show some signs of sleepiness.
And how long does she hibernate for?
Up to 6 months.
Jeez.
Up to 6 months. They don't eat. They don't drink anything. They just sleep, which is a mood. I also wish I could do that.
If she needs a roommate, just let her know. You know what I mean?
Like, well,
I'm
absolutely
interested, you know, like I'm down for hibernation for 6 months. No. So today is going to be a good stream as always. Kat and I are just all over the place. And that's just like what we do. You know what I mean? Like, it's just how we do things. Mm-hmm. There's so many things to like chat about today. I think let's start with like paranormal news stuff first.
I have the notes. Yeah. I have notes.
And the tea, right?
It's interesting.
Yeah, there's a lot of like weird things going on right now in paranormal, if you guys haven't been paying attention. And where's the place to start? What do you think? Destination Fear?
Fear, yeah.
Should we do
season
that?
Season 3. Mm-hmm. Let's do it.
Season 3. And you know, like I've always talked about on my channel, like the 3-season hump is a big deal. So once you get past the 3-season hump, it's a big deal. And so, you know, at the end of the day, no matter how I critique other filmmakers, I am very happy for people that can get to or past the 3rd season. So for Destination Fear to get to the 3rd season, that's huge. And I'm very happy for them because that means that, you know, everyone involved is really excited about, I'm talking like people who are financing and producing it, like everybody, the network is proud of them. So that's a big deal, like when you have that much support. However, you know, we started out watching, you know, 3rd season of Destination Fear, and the first few episodes I think were really good.
Enjoyed them, to be honest. I really did. The first few episodes were great.
Mm-hmm.
It was season 3, episode 5 and episode 6 or 7, I can't remember the exact number, that some interesting things started to happen, and I was like, okay, all right.
Mm-hmm. And it's hard because, like, you have the same problem I do now, which is it's really hard to sit through any sort of film without analyzing it and critiquing it. So immediately you're going to be like, ooh, that was a red flag. Ooh, that was weird. And so most of these episodes of Destination Fear, you watched before I did. And you were like, I'm not going to tell you what happened, but like, you're going to find it very interesting. So I did watch them sort of after Kat, and then we kind of came together with some ideas on it. So I'm going to let you start the chat of like the first few red flags that you were like, what's going on here?
Yeah, I think it's really interesting, too. Like, I really enjoy, especially watching, like, paranormal shows, because it's a really great learning experience as well as someone that's still trying to get immersed in the film world. So mm-hmm. it's fun to, not fun, I shouldn't say fun, but it is good to sometimes pick apart some things just to get a different take on it, you know? And with episode 5, it was Chelsea's pick. They went to Green County Almshouse. Mm-hmm. I can't remember. I think, was it in Pennsylvania? I can't really remember.
It was East Coast. Yeah, it was somewhere northeast. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, and it was during the beginning. So usually when each episode begins, the crew or whoever is in charge of picking the location, they go to an area that's the aesthetic or the theme of the location, but they don't know the location, and they do something like crazy.
So essentially, and they each got like a week where they got to pick their own location, and Chelsea's was this place that nobody's ever investigated before.
Yeah.
Which is a little dangerous if it's not well known, just because as a filmmaker, you're going to be going in there and you're going to be concerned, what if we don't get any paranormal evidence? You know what I mean? Because like, That's a fear that executives have. When you're in negotiations with executives, it happens to me every negotiation. They sit me down and say, so what happens if you set 10 locations for a series and two of them you get no evidence? And I always say, well, that's never happened to me. But, you know, the likelihood of that happening is locations that no one's ever done before. Like, I'm talking even, like, local groups. Like, nobody's touched it. And it is scary. It's dangerous because you are like, you know, you have to deliver at the end of the day. And if you're coming back without any evidence, that's complicated.
True. That's a really good point. Yeah, it was interesting. I liked the history of the location as far as I can remember, but it is hard. It's, you're kind of gambling with the experiences you might have there. But the part that really interesting to me was, instead of going to a place to go and do something crazy, Chelsea did something in regards to like fear.
Mm-hmm.
So she had this box, she set up this table outside of the RV, and nobody could see inside the box but her or the camera that was, you know, looking at the items in this box. And she wouldn't tell Dakota, Tanner, or Alex what was in the box, but she would tell them to stick their hand in the box and they would feel weird things. And
essentially, this is my take on it. Like, if you notice this season, I mean, they've always done like a little bit of an adventure on each location.
Adventure, yes.
But this one was like, this season, it's not just random. So, like, the first season, they were didn't they go to like Niagara Falls just because they were in the area? Like, and I don't mind random adventures. Honestly, I don't think the adventures need to be pertained to every location. But this season, for some reason, they're tying it all in, which honestly sometimes doesn't make sense. Like one episode, they jumped in the freezing ocean. And I was like, because like men died in the water, like, and they were like literally in their swimsuits in the middle of winter in the Atlantic Ocean. And I thought that was kind of dumb and weird. Like, you could literally get hypothermia. It's really not cute at that point.
That's dangerous.
And then this episode, basically how they tied it in was, this location's never been investigated. It's never been done. It's never been touched. So I'm doing something secretive you guys don't know with this secret box that's never been done and never been touched. So that's how it was tied in, which I thought was a little corny, I'm going to be honest. But
yeah.
Kat had a bit of a shit fit when she realized what happened with this episode.
It was really, I wasn't expecting it, but she'd put, spoiler alert, by the way, if you haven't seen the episode yet. She put a bearded dragon in one of the boxes, and I was like, oh, Lily, you know, like, oh, cute. But when there was so much yelling and like the hand was being put in the box, you could see some signs in the dragon that it was a little stressed, I guess, was my main concern. And then the other, you know, the other instances were worms, like mealworms, which is what a bearded dragon eats. And then the last one was crickets. So someone put their hand in the box and there'd be crickets everywhere, which is also a bearded dragon meat. So
and there were snakes.
And there were snakes too. There was, I think it was like two or three or something like that. Mm-hmm. They're big size.
Mm-hmm.
To me, from what I could gather from something like that, I could only assume if this was a location that had been, investigated at before, that a lot of time was put into booking the location and finding out the information, and not as much time was put into what would happen before they go to the location.
Like the adventure, adventure.
Yeah.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, you, like, why were you triggered? Because Kat is a owner of a very famous bearded dragon. No. She's becoming famous on Instagram, literally.
Yeah, all 50 followers. She's so famous.
Yeah, y'all. She's very famous. No, but really, you've had a bearded dragon, and you adopted this dragon from a friend, and you didn't know anything about dragons, and neither do I. I don't know about lizards, but like she's like a person in her own. Lily is like, and I get pictures and videos every day of Lily. And that's your dragon. And, you know, I agree. I think that, you know, there's something called black beard that lizards get when they get stressed or scared, or they're feeling agitated or territorial, or like they're going to be hurt. The females don't bite as much as the males can be quite aggressive. But I think Kat's biggest concern was, you know, you put a lizard in a dark box and then people are grabbing at it and they're screaming at it. And it could stress the lizard and essentially, like, kill it from a heart attack or stress. And I think that's what upset you the most, right?
Mainly the biggest thing that I was upset with. Yeah, I mean, for the most part, they're really chill. But in such a weird, chaotic moment as that was, and I'm sure it was a lot longer than the clips that they showed in the episode, I was a stressed dragon mom. I was a very stressed dragon mom. So, yeah, that was... I wasn't a huge fan of that.
Right.
Just
it. Well, I think it goes back to, like, just respecting all creatures. Like, just because, like, someone out there watching may not be a lizard person doesn't mean they're still, like, a living creature and they still deserve sort of respect. I'm assuming that the snakes they used for this episode weren't, like, you know, venomous or, like, biting sort of snakes. So I don't think those would be as affected. But you're right. Bearded dragons are highly sensitive. I mean, like I said, I see Lily every day and she... reacts to noises and everything. So yeah, I can't imagine. You're right. Where did this idea come up for their adventure? You randomly get this idea of like, oh, let's scare him. Let's go to the, you know, store and buy a bearded dragon. You also don't agree with bearded dragons being sold in stores because you think they're such high maintenance. And you believe that this particular kind of reptile should have never been a pet. People kill them and they die easily because they're temperamental. I mean, the temperature has to be right. The food has to be right. It's a very particular sort of creature to have as a pet. So yeah. You were like, why did you randomly just go get a bearded dragon and throw it in a box?
It's an exotic pet. I mean, and they're already in unfamiliar territory because they're only native to Australia. And I know I have one, but it was adopted. Yeah, I didn't buy it from a store. And I'm not saying if you bought one from a store, it's wrong. It's just my opinion on that, you know, and how I felt in that moment.
Well, you've also helped rescue bearded dragons before in the past and rehabilitate dragons. So this is serious. Like, this is a side you guys may not know about Kat. Like, she has owned chinchillas before. She's owned hamsters, guinea pigs. Like, she likes those little creatures, which is fine. She's very much Green Witch vibe, you know what I mean? And then she has her little dragon. And you're right. Like, I've seen all of the little agendas that Kat has been on with saving. She's literally rehabilitated dragons to where they were dying. Like, literally. And she's kept them in her house. And so she understands how literally fragile these things are. Anything, like even the temperature being out in the cold in a box without the, right? You were upset about that too. Like, it shouldn't have just been thrown in a box without a heat sensor. Who knows how long it was in the box for? You're in the middle of New England in the winter. It can die, literally, because it's a desert creature, literally.
It's something called a UV light. It's a heating light as well. But bearded dragons need UV to help strengthen their bones as well as other...
Digestion, like, that. Literally.
Mm-hmm. And when they don't get that UV and they're just kind of put in there with the heat lamp, they get really bad bone deformities where, like, their arms are growing in the other direction and some of them end up having to, like, lose their legs. And so it's just when I see things like that when it comes to bearded dragons, I get a little sensitive.
Well, and this is winter time and it's probably Burmation time, which is their hibernation. So Kat's kind of like, why are you... When a bearded dragon goes into their hibernation, they go into hibernation for 6 months max, sometimes even a little more, and they don't move for 6 months. They sleep. They pack on a bunch of pounds. They don't go to the bathroom. They don't eat. And you're not supposed to move them when they're in hibernation. Hibernation in the United States for a bearded dragon would be our winter time, and that's because they are, you know, normally a desert creature. So Kat was kind of like, why are you throwing this bearded dragon around in a box when it should be in hibernation in the middle of winter? Plus you have it out in the cold. Like, there were a lot of like, what the hell are you guys doing?
That was a huge, that was a little bit of a trigger for me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to lie. Yeah. So that was my take on that episode. And then we had the other episode of season, or episode 6 or 7 with Alex's location. Mm-hmm. And that was wild. That was wild. That was at Old Fellow's home. And someone was at the location at night. And that was the part that I was really interested in Crystal watching because...
light is flashing and your like audio is cutting out. I don't know like what demons in my house tonight, but I really don't have time for this. You know what I'm saying?
Is it me? Is it on
my think so because it's happening when my light flashes. So something's messing with my electronics like normal. Welcome to the Ghost Girl Diaries podcast where ghosts make their way right into my house to make themselves known. Sorry. Okay.
Yeah, we had a weird instance before we came on too. Like someone's webcam went off completely.
Yeah, it was like disconnected. So I was like, okay. Someone said, "What are the Dutch bearded dragons?" I don't know what that is. Do you know what that is?
No, I'm not familiar with those.
What color?
Yeah. I have a what's called a leatherback morph bearded dragon. So they're pretty rare bearded dragon, but they're mainly like bright yellow. Mixed between bright yellow and orange. So they might have different names for different colors. Mm-hmm. The Starburst is a very yellow bearded dragon, like in itself, when it's just that.
You know, Kat's making me want like an iguana. Now I want an iguana. And I want.
What a bonding moment with the chameleon.
I went into this. This is so off topic, but who gives a shit? Like, yeah, this is just what we're I called Kat one day and I was like, I hate you. And she's like, why? I was like, I'm not a lizard person, and you're making me like these weird things. You know what I mean? Like, this Lily is so cute. Like, and so I go in the pet store, and there's a damn chameleon, and I'm video recording Kat, and it's literally like slowly reaching out to me, like, take me home. And I was like, damn it, Kat, this is your fault.
I'm just saying, she almost did.
So,
close.
Oh, someone else said I was really mad when they brought the animals on, basically as bait to Skinwalker Ranch. Yeah, I've seen some strange. I don't get it either. I mean, Elfie's vegan, and I mean, I'm a huge animal advocate. I can't even talk because it just stresses me out. It does.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
Though, like, the little dude couldn't say, hey, dude, can you take me out of this box? Because, like, you're stressing me the fuck out. You know what I mean? Like, they can't talk for themselves, and that's the part that stresses me out. So, yeah. I'm like...
I feel like that just could have been done a little bit differently,
yeah,
in my opinion.
Really bad. Now, the next episode was where I flew off the handle, pretty much. So, this is where Alex chooses. So, I like Alex. Alex is probably one of my faves. I used to like Tanner a lot. He's very monotone now. You know, like, I don't think people realize when you're on camera investigating or hosting, whatever it is, you can't sound just one, it just boring if you're one tone. Like, you've got to be excited and like what you're doing. And Tanner's all is so monotone that it just like, at this point, gets on my nerves. But then you have Alex, who's pretty good. Like, I like it, but I like Tanner that runs towards things. At least one of them does. And Dakota just screams like a banshee every time there's a little fart noise. Like, he screams, you know what I mean? Chelsea, you know, whatever. Like, you know, she's gotten better. But
I was going to say, she's gotten better, for sure.
She has gotten better.
That's screaming.
Now, with Alex's episode, where did they go again?
They went to Odd Fellow's home.
Okay, that's right. Which is in Missouri, right?
Yes. And, yeah, that was wild. I was very interested to hear Crystal's take on that episode.
Where do I begin? No.
The beginning.
The start. Let's just like rewind this. Okay, yeah. Is everybody ready for the next 45 minutes? No, I'm just kidding.
Just making sure.
No, but like looking at this from a production standpoint with this episode, and Kat knows this because like I've had to, Elfie knows this for God's sake. Like Elfie's on here, you know, like basically they went into the Oddfellows home. There were two separate buildings. There's so much that happened. It was unbelievable. But the first thing that happened was they saw a real life person basically run out of one of the buildings while they were like going through scoping it out before they actually left. So as a producer, like, this is me talking as a producer, not as a paranormal investigator. This tells me that they still don't have proper security 3 seasons in. I don't know why. 3 seasons in, there should be no money problems at this point, in my opinion, period. Everybody should be making sufficient money to the point where there's plenty of money to spend. There's no budget. There's no cap. And where the fuck is the security at? And why aren't they sweeping the buildings before they go in? You know, like, I don't want to sound scary, but you do have a female with you, Chelsea. And if there are homeless people or creepy people or stalkers, whatever, and she could get the rapey vibe, you know, going on. Like, you don't want that. You want your sister safe. I don't want to hear an excuse that there's no finances for security. That's bullshit 3 seasons in. I don't want to hear that. Like, and if you're saying you don't have money, then who's pocketing it? One of the EPs, Zach, who's pocketing it to the point where they can't get security? So there's a real life person that runs out there scared shitless, essentially. And I pretty much flew off the handle because, you know, when you sign contracts for series like this, you are put on liability insurance. The production company, the network, puts you on liability insurance. That's for, like, let's say Kat goes into this abandoned building and she's in the dark and she slips down some stairs and she rips her leg open to the point where she has to be airlifted out and she has to have surgery. And let's say we're 4 hours away from, like, a hospital. She has to be airlifted out. All the liability insurance pays for all of that. Let's say I die and while I'm on set filming in an abandoned building and my family sues production company or whatever for, like, an at-fault death. This is what the insurance is for. Like, literally, like, if it's, let's say my family sues for $7 million, they will get that and more because that's what the insurance is for, to cover. My point is that if they have liability on them, which can be pricey, especially for third season in, like, they're doing a major production now, and somebody gets hurt, like, rapey vibes or stabbed or shot because they didn't put security in to sweep the building, like, you're looking at a massive liability if someone's seriously injured or dead. Like, you're looking at a potential, like, suit against you with attorneys.
I feel like if they haven't had somebody sweeping these locations, and they've been to some big locations, they've been very lucky to not have an instance like that where it can be a danger to everybody, including Chelsea, of course, especially as a female. And I guess the thing that was really concerning with Oddfellow's home was the fact that there was really no way for you to know that somebody was in the building because most of it was, like, demolished. Mm-hmm. So a lot of it was, like, you couldn't really hear a door slam or anything like that from the outside. Like, people were literally walking through the wall because there's a hole in the wall, you know, and then you go out, you can see outside.
Well, the creepier part, that the guy, whoever ran out, has immaculate freaking night vision. Because there was no, it was a person. Like, it was a legit person. But that he had no cell phone for light, he had no flashlight for light, and he booked it out of there. They chased him out. But, which is scary, because that tells you not only is his night vision good, but also he knows the place like the back of his hand. That's scary. What if he came back? Like, it's just the safety concern is, like, I can't even keep talking about it. You know what I mean? As a producer, it made me cringe pretty badly. And I mean, you know, at the end of the day, the EPs may not care for security and be like, oh, well, if something happens, it'll be good for views. Man, that's like doing a dance with the devil if you're willing to let somebody get hurt, injured, or killed just to get some damn views on a show. You know what I mean?
Dangerous. It's just dangerous in general. I'm kind of shocked that nobody would have mentioned to have them, you know, have security with them, especially with some of these huge locations they've been to.
I don't know. I don't know what's going on. Somebody's pocketing the money somewhere, and it's an EP. And I don't know which EP, but somebody's not doing things right. And I think that that also kind of teaches the audience bad things, that, like, you don't need to sweep before you investigate, because, you know, I don't want to hear the excuse, oh, well, I'm not here to, like, be a role model for everybody else. You're on TV, boo-boo. You're going to be a role model whether you like it or not. People are going to follow you and trust faith in everything that you do. And they're going to turn around and do the same thing again. And they're going to be in unsafe instances and people are going to mock you and mimic you. Now, moving forward, as if that wasn't bad enough, it got worse. And it got worse because it's Alex's location. And so they end up walking outside. Once again, middle of winter. They just found, and Missouri gets cold. My family's from Missouri, from Kansas City. In the winter, it's like ice storms, ice, very humid, you know, like ice sticks to the ground for a long time. It's very cold. And basically, Alex takes everybody outside and he goes, so my twist for this location is I am taking everybody's flashlights away from them for the night. And we're not staying the normal, like, 4 hours. We're staying, like, 6 or 8 hours at the location. And you are not allowed to have any flashlights. And thank God Chelsea did speak up. I was really proud of her because she goes, are you serious? You're going to take our light, our only light source, after we just caught people running out of the building and it's not safe? And Alex was like, yeah, I know I seem like an asshole, but this is the only time I'm going to be able to have control over the situation. And he proceeded to take their flashlights and they went into the building, isolated each one of them in completely separate areas with absolutely no light source.
Yeah. That wasn't smart. That wasn't smart.
I mean, I play the feminist card a lot. You know, like, I do. And, like, I like to be the strong female, especially when there hasn't been a lot in this industry. And, like, we're trying to break barriers and make changes as being strong women because, you know, the image of men in the paranormal industry is greasy hair and biceps and threatening for a demon to come up out of that ground and get you. Okay, so we're trying to break barriers here. But at the end of the day, I also am not stupid. And when I say that is I know that when Elfie Cat and I go to film, we are women, period. And we have to be safe no matter what. And for Alex not to consider Chelsea in that moment by taking away her flashlight, making her sleep completely isolated and alone in a building where people had broken in and just ran out, really pisses me off and rubs me the wrong way, to be honest, that there wasn't respect on her side, at least. Like, fine, Tanner and you know, Dakota go without a flashlight, whatever. But Chelsea's a girl. Like, she, you know, women can get overpowered very easily. Very easily. And I was pissed, to say the least. How did you feel about it?
I felt the same. I didn't think that was the right decision to do. And, you know, he did mention that that would be his last time he'd have a location. So I don't know if that was, like, you know, a discussion beforehand. But I feel like he kind of ruined his time to pick a location by making that decision. You know, that was just not safe. Not safe.
So they stuck it out. You know, unfortunately, they never have the best evidence coming out of there. They always have one or two things. I don't like the way that it's being edited. As far as I know, Dakota's the editor on it. He basically edits it, produces it, and is like a host of it. And I think he's doing too much, and I think it's starting to show through his work. It is impossible for one person to do everything. It is impossible. Now, I think that he also might be trying to follow in the shoes of what Ghost Adventures did in the beginning, which was Zach and Nick were EPs, Aaron was camera tech, Nick was camera tech, Zach was host, and then editing-wise, it was pretty much Billy, Nick, and Zach. So I think that in Dakota's head, he's like, I can do the same thing Ghost Adventures did. The difference is, though, is Ghost Adventures came out like 10 years ago. And the reason that Zach and Nick were in control of the editing was because nobody knew how to edit paranormal footage like night vision footage. You can train people to do that now. You don't have to be in control of everything. And I think that Dakota's bitten off way too much because it shows in his... I literally was watching the episode and I was looking at the time frame of, you know, a typical episode is like, okay, it's like the build up and then, like, you know, the letdown or whatever. And it's like literally 4 or 6 minutes of night vision footage. And, like, this goes back to them saying in the beginning when they first started the series, saying, I am not a paranormal show. We're an urban exploration show. But you're using night vision and you're using ghost gear. So which is it? Like, either shit or get off the pot. Like, there's no in between. There's no kinda. You're asking things to make a noise. You're asking things to let you know you're there. You're using the ovulus. You're using all this equipment. But yet you're editing it like it's an urban exploration show. And then he's going on and on about, he did this huge blathering thing about, oh, what fear does to the mind and like all these controlling situations. And we're going to blindfold you in the dark. And, but yet we're still ghost hunting. So it's like, you can't do both. Pick a side, pick one, either make it urban exploration or paranormal. It's so like flimsy back and forth. I don't really know what's going on.
The message isn't clear, and I feel like that would only cause more frustration during the editing process, especially if Dakota and I think somebody else named Alex or whatever is helping with the editing as well. But I mean, I can only imagine that that must cause like a creative block, because it does seem like in some of the episodes that there is some confusion as to what the message is. Mm-hmm. Because I don't think they used paranormal equipment for that episode, did they?
Not for that one, but I mean, pretty much everything else they did. They had the ovulus.
Weird. Yeah, it was weird.
Someone said, do you think Dakota feels pressure to edit this because Zach's the producer on it? No, I think that the executive producers are cheap asses. And I think that Dakota isn't being tough enough when he starts negotiations with the executive producers. He needs to lay down exactly what he needs and what he wants. He needs to go to the EPs before season starts and say, hey, I can't keep editing like this. I literally have no life. Like, he talks about it on social media that like all he does is work and edit and film and that's it. And like, I don't know if it's on his part. Maybe he learned from Zach. Zach's very controlling when it comes to like film, and like, it's okay. Like, he's good at what he does. So maybe Dakota took that and he's trying to like recreate it in a way. But at the end of the day, if it were me season three, I'd be like, hey, I'm done editing. I need a freaking editor. I need a full post-production team. I'm tired. We have the money to do this now. So it's either Dakota's not speaking up enough, because you have to literally tell them exactly what you want in detailed form before you sign that contract. Because if he doesn't go to the EPs and say, this is what I want and this is what I need, of course they're going to run him over and be like, oh, he didn't ask for an editor. That's an extra $30,000 that we can split between us and the EPs. Of course they're not going to offer it to him. I don't think that they're being cheap, the EPs, to like not give him money for editing. I don't think Dakota's speaking up enough about what he needs and what he wants.
Yeah, well, they're not going to baby him.
No, either. No.
You know? It's very detail oriented with the whole process. So,
and you have to be very specific with what you want. And that's why it's hard for me, even in the past when I've gone in with negotiations, I'm a single female going into a room full of 5 to 10 male EPs. And they're looking at me like, what the hell do you want? And so that's when I told you guys in the past, I have to walk, talk, think, and act like a man and know exactly what I want and lay it out on the table. And if you don't, they're going to run you over, because the less you ask for, the more money the EP and the network makes, period. So of course they're not going to help you unless you either A, ask for it, or B, tell them what you need. But the editing is like, I don't know why he's only leaving like 4 to 6 minutes at the end for like the night vision footage. It's just like, it's to me, it's a very like a big letdown. You're like watching it, like Elfie said this too. You're like watching it like, oh, there's a couple things happening. It's so good. And all of a sudden it ends and you're like, what the hell?
Yeah, the direction is not where it needs to be. And I think that comes with the message. You know, once you simplify the message and you make that clear, then the rest will kind of work itself out. But you can tell. You can tell there's some misfiring going on.
Mm-hmm. Now, as far as this whole thing went with Chelsea being in this location without a flashlight, without a light, in an abandoned building where they just saw squatters run out. I'm really upset about that, because I'm concerned that there's going to be paranormal groups across the country, across the freaking world that see that, who are going to think it's fun to take a female investigator, put her in an abandoned building and isolate her and leave her alone without any form of communication or light source. And it is not safe, period. And for them to like put that on TV and like make it look like it's okay for that to happen really stresses me out, to be honest. So after that particular episode, I told Kat that I can no longer support Destination Fear and I'll no longer be watching any of the episodes. Kat just froze. Are you there? I'm telling you, I don't know if it's Shadow Mercury retrograde going on. I don't know what it is, but let me try to call her back again. Can you hear me?
I can hear you now. Yeah, that was weird. It cut out.
Yeah, like froze and shut you off. So anyway, I left off saying, oh, did it cut her off again? Shit, Mercury, you mother effa. Kat. Mercury retrograde. Ugh. Are you there? Keeps cutting you out. What is happening? Let me just shut Discord down and we'll just try this a different way. Are you there? Can you hear me? Isn't that stupid?
Yeah, it's weird. Like, your camera box keeps, like, going out and then it's just me.
Anyway. The last thing I said was after this episode with Chelsea being sort of isolated alone, I don't think that I can support Destination Fear and watch any more episodes.
That's understandable. I think the part that really got to me...
I don't know what's happening. Yeah, my dogs are like, now they're... I don't know what's going on.
I think the part that got me was at the end of that episode of the Odd Fellows Home episode, Dakota, I can't remember verbatim what he said, so no one crucify me for this, but he said something along the lines of, from now on, they're going to have somebody sweep the location. And to me, it just kind of hit me because I'm like, it's three seasons in. Mm-hmm. You know, like, I mean, think about the safety of your crew. Like, he does have a lot on his shoulders, and we're not saying he doesn't. But he's also taken on that responsibility, and safety of the crew is number one.
And that's why on the production side of any sort of film, it's a lot of responsibility. And like, that's where I think a lot of people don't understand. I say this to Kat all the time. People think like, oh, Crystal hasn't gotten signed yet. Why not? Da, 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 da. Oh, she's lying. She's making it up. She hasn't done it. Da, 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 da. You have no idea. That's proof right there that you don't know what you're talking about. Because of the layers that go into it is like so much. And like, I know what I'm asking for in contracts and you have to be specific or this is what happens. And you're right. Why are you now deciding you're halfway through season three and now you're like, oh, maybe we should have security on? Are you serious? It took you till like, you know, your sister had to sit with a flashlight, no lighting source for 6 to 8 hours. She could have gotten murdered. Like, who knows what could have happened? And now you're figuring out that it's not safe. It's like, duh.
Which I do have to give her props for that because she handled that like a champ.
She handled that like a boss. So you get it, Chelsea. That's all I have to say. Mm-hmm. But another thing too is all of them were without light source. So, and that place, you're right, was a total dump. There was pieces falling from the ceiling. There was a stairway was missing. If one of them fell down a shaft and died... Once again, liability. So that was so dumb on Alex's part. And why Dakota didn't step up, he's a producer on it. Well, if you're going to be a producer, you better act like one, son. You should have stepped up and said, this is not safe. We can't do that. Because then there was like an emergency, like over the walkie. They're trying to run towards somebody else. None of them have light. And they're like running through this place that's like demolished and falling down. And I'm like, how stupid. How stupid. So then you have to ask the question of Dakota, if you're the one in charge of this set, why aren't you acting like it? I don't like the voiceovers. They're talking like doing the history. Tanner reads a part of it and then Dakota reads a part of it and then Chelsea reads a part of it. Why? Make it one person. Who's the host? To me, it's like Dakota doesn't want any to step on anybody's toes. I bet you this is how he is. I want everybody to be equal. I don't want anyone to think anyone's higher than anybody else. That's not the way it works. Somebody has to be in charge on set because somebody has to hold the responsibility of keeping the crew safe. You're not even, unfortunately. The only one that I saw on there as producer is Dakota. And he needs to start acting like he's in charge and he needs to start taking care of business because I'm really concerned, which is why I don't want to watch anymore, something bad's going to happen. Someone's going to get hurt, and I don't want to see it. And I don't. I think it's gross that they would try to get views off of someone getting injured, and I don't want to see it.
Scary. That's scary. And just kind of a liability in general.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's, I think they have one more episode. They're going to two locations and one their final episode. Mm-hmm. So I'm curious to see what happens next.
Mm-hmm. You're going to watch. Season. I'm not, unless you're absolutely... You'll have to take my right leg in order for that to happen, okay? I'm so against it at this point. It's just, it's not good. It's not teaching investigators the right way to do things, and it's not safe, and I don't know. I'm gonna get off my soapbox now, because it's just, it is not safe. Okay, we have a couple of questions here. Someone says, I think they're going to Villisca Axe House. Did you see that one?
Yeah, they're going, that's their, one of the two locations they're going to.
It is, okay.
For the final episode.
Someone said, I want to watch Villisca and then see what happens, and then I'm not going to watch it anymore. Someone says, the ghosts don't want me to stop watching Destination Fear because my feed froze. did they get any paranormal footage? They have. They've gotten some here and there, but not tons. I think they get about 2 to 3 pieces of evidence per location. Also asked if we talk about UFOs. Yes, we do sometimes, just not this stream. And another question was, curious on any update on Ghost Girl Diaries that you can give, or am I still hush-hush for now? I am still hush-hush for now. I'm not hush-hush. Other people have made me hush-hush. So, yeah. Hush. I am hushed. Yeah.
We are hushed the max. To the max.
I have nothing to say. I don't know what you're talking about. No, I'm just kidding.
Nothing going on.
No, nothing. Yeah. Everything's great. You know what I mean? No, it really is. Everything's great. So,
it is. Everything's.
Yeah, no, I have nothing to complain about. Everything is amazing in the world of Ghost Girl Diaries. Don't worry.
It's true.
I promise it's coming. Move promise. It. Yes.
Moving along. Yeah.
Yeah, in fact, Kat and I took off, what, a couple months?
And it was great.
Took off, let's see.
Great.
June was horrible. June was awful. June was, I was staying on the pavement. Kat was picking me up.
In 1 month. That's the epitome of June, okay?
July, we were halfway through July, was crazy. And then we took off like 2 weeks in July, pretty much all of August till now. And it was great, man. So yeah, we're back to posting, if you haven't noticed. And like, yeah, I'm not complaining. And now we're getting ready to go back into another busy section. And it's going to be really bad this time. But that's okay. It's fine. No, this is what I manifested. It's fine. You know,
this is why we rested.
It
is. It's important to take breaks.
Yep.
It's important to take breaks and listen to your body and its needs and do the thing.
Yep. So, can't kill yourself now over content. But yeah, everything's good.
Yes.
Next paranormal topic. Katrina?
Talking about Katrina Weidman?
Katrina from Paranormal State. So we were really excited for her last week. I think, wasn't it Elfie and I that talked about this briefly?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. She posted... Portals to Hell is the one with Jack Osborne. I don't remember what the other one was called.
Oh, I get them confused.
She was talking about posting on the 8th, I believe, which was 2 days ago. Katrina was going to have a new series up with her other friend from Paranormal State. I can't remember that girl's name. Who's her name? Do you remember?
Heather?
Taddy? Is that right?
Taddy. I think that's right. Yeah. It's called Travel the Dead.
Travel the Dead. We were so excited because they were going to premiere it on YouTube. And then I was waiting for the drop because, I mean, I think Katrina's gotten so screwed. I've said that and I will continue to say it. I think she's gotten so screwed. They've thrown her around so much and it's not fair. And I love the girl and like she is good at what she does. And in my opinion, with Portals to Hell, she carries that damn show with Jack. And so I was really happy. I said last week, I assumed that because she was doing something with YouTube, that it was because she might have pitched it and they turned her down or whatever at Travel Channel. Now, how do I word this properly? Generally speaking, when you're in a contract with a production company and or a network, you have control over your social media. Generally speaking, there will be some exceptions, but like take it for example, Aaron Goodwin's been with Ghost Adventures, obviously, since the beginning, and he has a YouTube channel. I don't think he really posts much on there anymore, but he has a YouTube channel. You know, like, Billy does his, like, DJ music on the side, and they don't care. Nick released, like, albums, remember? Like, his really rap career.
Oh, my God. Oh, good Lord. We're not going to go there. My ears are bleeding.
Woo! anyway... no, but really, so, like, generally speaking, you can control your own social media. YouTube is considered social media. So what I think happened was she probably tried to pitch this to her producers or the network or whatever, and she says, hey, I have this great idea for this show with Heather. The network shuts her down because welcome to being a girl and paranormal, ho. It's horrible.
It was weird because it was canceled or postponed. Excuse me. It was postponed. The Travel the Dead series on YouTube. On the release date.
Like hours before. Like it was hours almost like before.
It was almost like the rug was pulled out right before it happened. You know? And that's a little frustrating.
Producers are assholes. Yeah. Whose fault is this? Not hers. I can guarantee you Travel stepped in or the production company over Jack Osborne and said, this is a conflict of your contract. In my opinion, off the record, Katrina, you need to speak with an attorney and or a, what? Can you hear me?
I can hear you now, yeah.
I think that she needs to speak with an attorney of some sort because I think that this is what I've been going through. And this is going to sound selfish and I'm going to say it anyway. Seeing her get stopped from putting something out on YouTube, it really did validate that it's not just me who struggles in this industry so bad. It's all women in the paranormal industry because the same thing happened to her. And it's so shitty. It is so shitty. And change has got to happen because I am so sick of this shit. Not just for me, not just for Kat, not just for Elfie, but for Katrina and for Chelsea going through that on Destination Fear.
Everybody.
Someone's got to be a voice, and it sucks, and I can't believe they canceled it hours before it was supposed to premiere.
That's sad.
Because who knows what she spent on cinematography? Like, we don't know what she was prepping. She says it's postponed from YouTube, but that means if and or they let her release it, it's so messed up. I am so sick of these producers, men, because they're mostly men, thinking they have control over us. I am so over it. It's not even funny.
Yeah, I think she said in her message that it was circumstances out of their control.
Okay, here's a question. Do you think if Jack Osborne did this online on his YouTube channel, would it have been canceled 2 hours before it was supposed to premiere?
Oh, no. Absolutely not. Absolutely not.
Right.
Yeah. And that's the messed up thing about it.
Yep.
It really is. Because there was so much hype with it. Like, everyone was really excited. We all were excited. Her promo images looked badass. Everything was, like, ready to go. And it was just, it was really disheartening to see it postponed on the day of the release. Yeah, it was really, like, you know instantly. If you're immersed in you know, the world of paranormal as a woman and in film, you know the reason why. You know the reason.
I am just, I feel so, I feel for her. I feel for her.
Yeah. Yeah. She's so great. She's so great.
So, anyway.
I think they have a new, don't they have a new season coming out?
Yeah, but it's, I can't, I can't watch that show. Can you watch Portals to Hell?
No.
Jack just makes me want to throw my head into a screwdriver sometimes. Oh, my God. He says the dumbest thing. Like, I told you that one episode, he's, like, holding the Melmeter next to a light switch. He's like, oh, my God, it's going off. It's a ghost. And I'm like, no, it's not. It's electricity. Like, it just tells you he doesn't know what he's doing. And she does hold the show, but I can't watch it because it's not her. It's not her.
Right.
Anyway, Jesus, take the wheel. Or Satan, one of the two, like, literally.
Both at the same time, to mix them both.
It's just, so yeah, Katrina, I love you, girl. I'm so sorry you're going through this. I feel you. You're not alone. You are not alone. Yeah. Okay, next topic. There was one other thing we were talking about.
It was Zach's new miniseries.
Yes. Oh, you dropped some tea on that. You dropped the tea on that.
Okay. So it was announced today. I think he dropped the trailer and the article on his Twitter today that he has a new miniseries airing on October 2nd called The Haunted Museum. Apparently, it's going to be a miniseries that are like mini horror films, and parts of it are scripted, or the whole thing is scripted, I believe. The series does have a 2-hour special and 8 additional hour-long episodes.
Right.
It's featuring Eli Roth, and he specifically mentioned, I looked back on it after we chatted, Crystal, that it was specifically stated that it was produced in collaboration with Zach and Eli. Mm-hmm. So
who was the director on it, though? Like, produced means planning, pre-production, possibly post-production. Obviously, this is somewhat scripted, which means they would have had to have some sort of, like, storyboard going on.
Yeah.
Probably co-executively producing it, because they both have a lot of money. But
yeah.
I am curious to see who's the actual director on it.
Yeah, do you want me to look it up, or are you looking it up?
I looked it up, and I couldn't find anything on it. So I don't think any information's out on it yet.
Yeah, I think it's a collaboration effort. Like, I think it was a collaboration.
Okay.
Great.
Let me just say that when it would be extremely rare, like, extremely rare, for two people to be directing one thing. Like, that's crazy to me. There's like, it's something you learn in film school, which is like, Stanley Kubrick did a collaboration with another director and it was just a effing mess, because creatively you're both thinking something completely different. So, I mean, there's gotta be only one director on it. So I'm just interested to see how this unfolds. Will I watch it? Yeah, are you gonna watch it?
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'm all for that. Plus Eli Roth is awesome. But I'm interested. I had a question pop up in my head after I read the article, and I'm wondering if he pulled Eli in, Zach pulled Eli in, because it is scripted.
Right.
And Zach comes from reality.
Yes.
Unscripted.
I would agree with that.
Maybe that was why, but it still is strange that there's not at least one person.
Like, well, so basically, if you don't know what we're talking about, look it up. Look up. I think it's on his Twitter page. I'm not following
it.
But it's on his Twitter. It popped up under me under like Supernatural or something. So basically, the real stories of the museum, the Dybbuk Box, the Devil's Rocking Chair, Lee Shapiro, which is the female investigator that was found dead after she supposedly contacted demonic activity in her living room. I saw that was in there, which is interesting because supposedly her family is completely against any publicity against Lee Shapiro. Like, I mean, totally against it. Like, they didn't even know, her family didn't even know Zach had a, like, monument thing about her in his museum, and they were pissed.
Were you talking about that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I saw that in the trailer, which is, it's like this person sitting in this living room chair, like, rocking chair, and then all of these, like, it looks like, I think she called them portals or something, and she had like 12 or 18 different like speakers that were playing different frequencies, I'm assuming, and supposedly each frequency went somewhere else, and she says that she like contacted demons. She was found dead like literally a day later, but her family was extremely religious, and Lee Shapiro was her name, and was extremely embarrassed by her antics and paranormal, and they tried to bury her death, bury her like public persona. They didn't want anybody to know about it. So, wow. You know, like, whatever. Wow. I know that it's really hard to find any information about her online, but that looked like one of the pieces in the trailer. Now, as far as him collaborating with Eli Roth, you're right. So if they're talking about his haunted museum, item specifications of like haunts, that would probably be on Zach's side. And then they filmed it in a very non-documentary sort of way. Like, it looks full-on script to me. Whatever. I don't, like, know. I can't. I don't. You didn't. There wasn't enough to see it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think the article stated that it's scripted. I can't remember exactly.
Because they don't show any characters in the trailer talking. They just show Zach and, like, his museum. And then they show, like, Paranormal Activity happening. So you don't know if you're just watching it unplay. Like, you don't know
it's
what you're seeing.
I think.
Yeah.
I think it's reenactments with actors, and that's where the scripted part comes in. Mm-hmm. But they called it mini horror films. So, like, each 8-hour-long episodes plus the 2-hour special, whatever it is, are like mini horror films. So I'm assuming that's where Eli comes in and Zach is voicing it.
Right.
Like voicing the, whatever, the history
right.
on it.
Voiceover or something. Yeah. yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is interesting yeah. though, because that says Zach didn't want to do the scripted part, which is really interesting. Mm-hmm. So he's basically saying I'm kind of comfortable doing the documentary reality side and not the scripted side. So that's interesting. You'd think that he would have wanted to like jump off and do his own thing. Maybe Discovery Plus put some, you know, requirements on him, and maybe they had to have Eli Roth involved. I don't know. But it'll be interesting to sort of chat about that later when we watch it.
I'm excited to watch it.
No, me too. Yeah, I like anything paranormal, so I'll watch it until you, like, get left alone in an abandoned Oddfellows home without a light and you're a girl. Anyway, I'm off my soapbox again. It's fine. Sorry. It's just going to happen sometimes.
That was normal news. I think that was all of it. That's all I had in my notes, at least.
Yeah, so poor Katrina. I feel for you, and that sucks, and... When is this shit going to change in this industry, man?
Hey, you never know. Maybe it'll change soon.
I guess. Okay, I don't see anybody more questions. All right,
my eyebrows are going to fly away.
Do what?
My eyebrows are going to fly away. I'm like...
Ouch.
It's going to come.
The tea. Who knows? So, American Horror Story. So, I mean, we've chatted about a couple of these characters, but... In my opinion, I think American Horror Story is one of the best scripted paranormal-based series that's ever been on TV. Cat's gone again. You know? Oh, there she is again. Nope, she's...
Agreed. Sorry, you're cutting in and out again.
I know.
Cutting out. Ah, that's creepy. It's weird. What is happening?
Demons, I think.
Probably. Yeah. Just another day in life. It's fine.
Stop
Demon
it.
Even George came
I
out.
I should have saged before
what?
I came on
what?
Here. Just, it keeps like you're
oh
like.
Oh my gosh.
What?
Yeah.
What?
From this, from earlier, you mean? Or just in general?
I don't know. I don't know what it is. There's something like weird happening. It might be just Mercury retrograde shadow period too, with technology issues.
Oh, yeah.
See? She cut out again. This is bullshit.
I know. I'm sorry. Is it me?
No. No.
Hello? No.
Damn you, computer. Trust me, I have a new computer, so it's not that. It's not the connection. Julia said, the industry is degrading. Do you think that it would be ethical to go to locations like Pompeii or Machu Picchu? Cat's frozen again. God damn it. Oh, there you are. I don't know. I'm sorry, Kat. I don't know what's going on.
Okay, I just hope it's not on my end.
No, I don't think so. It's Satan in my computer. Okay.
Do you think we should restart before talking about American Horror Story? Or just, let's just do it.
Let me try to just, like, I'll call you back. And just, like,
okay.
Disconnect, and then let's just try it again. Let's see if that works.
Okay.
Julie said, the industry is degrading. Do you think it'd be ethical for someone to go to locations like Pompeii or Machu Picchu?
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know if you can access Pompeii. You'd have to really, yeah, I don't know. That would be hard to access. Just, you'd have to know somebody, I think, you'd have to know somebody.
Yeah.
I mean, eventually I would love to go to like huge locations like overseas, but with COVID right now, I don't think it's going to be happening.
Well, I think Machu Picchu would be hard too, because I believe that's in Peru, mm-hmm. and it's basically all outdoor. It's hard at outdoor locations. I think you talked about that recently. You talked about that with Elfie last
yep.
stream.
Yeah. Well, it's you hard. Know, it's you've hard. Been, you've done outdoor locations with me. What's it like? I mean, it's a pain.
It is. It's hard. It's hard because you have to be really careful with evidence to make sure that it's credible. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? sure that like it's not something outside. It's
she froze again. My God. Maybe I'm gonna have to call the streamer. You just froze again.
Cat. There, I'm sure is just like crazy.
You cut out it's again old, the whole time.
You know,
Jesus.
Take hello.
Yeah.
Oh gosh, I was talking about Machu Picchu. It's okay.
It's fine. You're like going on about Machu Picchu. Like I can't hear you. I don't know what's going on. Do we need to call it a night with the damn stream or what? Now you're. I can see you talking and your audio. Oh.
Are you okay? Oh, now you're cutting out. Hello. Oh, you're back now.
Can we all just pray together that just, you know.
Just do a St. Michael prayer. Okay.
Can St. Michael go in my computer and release the demons, please? Like, Jesus, God.
We're talking now and it's fine. And it's like we talk about.
Well, I'm streaming the same way I do every single week. Like, nothing's changed. Like, Jesus. Well, and I'm live right now on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. So I have you guys on all different platforms right now. But anyway. We're just gonna keep trying, and if it gets too annoying, we'll just stop at some point. Jeez. Anyway, outdoor location. Yeah, and like same week, we went to this Native American location to investigate for a pilot episode, and yeah. That sucked because, well, I'm Native American, so I think I really got in tune to like the spirits that were in the cemetery area, and I like triggered the spirits, and all of a sudden, just the wind started picking up, and that's really bad for audio. Really bad for audio. Cat's frozen again. There she is. I don't know. Are you back? Maybe. Okay.
Yeah. You are. Can you hear me?
Yeah. I just really over it at this point. Like, you know what? We're going to call it a stream, guys, because I don't know what's going on. I don't know why Cat keeps freezing, but we're not going to keep going because it's just freezing. So
it just happens. Okay. So do we just want to hop in American Horror Story?
No, because I have you on single cam right now, because that's the only time it doesn't freeze when you're not on camera. So it'll be me talking with the voice of Kat. Like, you can be like the god, like the voice of God over me.
Oh, okay. Well, let me know if the video pops on so I'm not doing something weird, you know what I'm saying?
No, I think we're going to call it a stream, guys. I'm sorry.
Oh, no.
It's just freezing. I don't know why. I'm not doing... Nothing's changed other than Mercury Shadow period, so...
Weird.
I know, it's not the end of the world, you know, we'll just deal, and next week Elfie will be back on. I know it's weird, I don't know why, and it's fine, you know. That was a good stream for an hour, honestly.
It is. I think we chatted about some good stuff, some upcoming things, good paranormal news, all the fun stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And
we can do American Horror Story in a couple weeks.
Yeah, we'll do it again. Like, I just like the characters of American Horror Story, and they're based off like locations and people, and like, I just think it's really good. And it's one of the most respected, I think, as far as a scripted series about paranormal. I love American Horror Story for that reason. And so yeah, we'll go over it again. But anyway, awesome. Outdoor locations are a pain in the ass. There's nothing you can do about it. Just elements suck. Filming in elements suck. So that's why I'm not big on outdoor locations or pain. So anyway, do I have any other questions going on that I missed? I'm sorry, guys. Normally we do like a 2-hour stream, but I'm not going to sit here and let Kat's face keep freezing on screen.
Do you want me to check my video?
It's not you. It's not you. Why don't we just postpone and do AHS next week unless Elfie's not okay with that?
Okay. Elfie.
Elfie, are you okay with that? I know you're on.
She on? Is she on?
Yeah, she's on. Yeah, she was talking shit about women and paranormal and how she,
you know. Elfie, we love you.
Elfie's a badass, you know.
We love you.
Don't mess with Elfie. She'll burn you in witch hell. You know what I'm saying? Just kidding. She's like, what? I'll do what? No, I won't. No, I'm just kidding.
Never underestimate the power of a witch. Okay?
Yeah, that's true. It's a mood. Just depends. Ooh, follow us on social media. I posted some new videos today. I posted about some animal rescues that are going on in Vegas. So if you're a local, I did not. Somebody asked if I adopted any cats or dogs today, because you know I love animals. No, I did not. Although there is a cat named, oh my God, what's his name? Not Midnight.
I think it was Midnight, no?
No. Oh my God, what was his name? Anyway, there's a cat that I filmed today, and he was born without hind legs. and he scuttles around all over the place, and he's so freaking cute, and nobody will adopt him because he doesn't have back legs. And I was like, that's not fair. Somebody's got to adopt him. He's so freaking cute. So he's a sweetie. Now, I did want to adopt. I was about ready to just carry him out. You know what I mean? But this close to becoming a hoarder, so I just have to be careful. You know what I mean? Cat's a bearded dragon hoarder.
You with the beardy.
Yeah.
I know. I see them. I'm like, I'm going to take you home. It's fine.
Oh, God. Jesus. Well, thank you guys. Watch our social media. Sorry we had to cut it short tonight. We're going to be all right. We're going to make it. And follow us, yeah. And we'll catch you guys next. This will be uploaded as a podcast. Wait, you cut out. What did you say?
I said the ghost of Cat says we'll see you next week.
The god voice of Cat. Who's
voice of Cat. The ghost of Cat says...
It's literally, I can't wait to watch this later because it's just going to be my face and like your voice just like pops in. I can see her on my other screen. You guys can't. And so it's just like, God, the voice of Cat God is above us and she's just with us. So anyway.
It's so weird you can see me.
When you're not on double screen, you're fine. So I don't know, man.
That's whatever. A mood.
Our spirit guys are like, just take the night off. We're like, fine, I will. No, so thank you guys so much. This will be uploaded as a podcast as always. And as always, we'll catch you guys next time. Thank you. Bye. Bye, voice of Cat. Bye, God of Cat.
Bye.
God voice.
Back from the dead.